Let me summarize now Psalm 19 by directing you to verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You may have the perception that in Psalm 19, we almost have two unrelated psalms going at once. David's meditation of the heavens above, and his meditation also on the Torah. How do the two relate? I can assure you that there's a very deep connection. The heavens being the mark or the tally of the weight or significance of the Almighty. The Torah being the first footprint on earth where all the weight, significance, makes its imprint upon man. The footprint from which all continuing significance is to be discerned and to be judged. Here are some other scriptures for us to consider. First, regarding Christ being central to all creation and the plan for salvation. Hebrews 2, verse 10 reads, "For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Regarding a plan of salvation much larger than just a plan of saving the children of Israel, Romans 15, verse 9, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." Or Hebrews 7, 25, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Regarding the error of Christless religions, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 20 through 24, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Regarding what Jesus revealed to his disciples after his resurrection concerning the fulfillment of Scripture, including all the Torah. Luke chapter 24, starting at 44 through 48. "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye," meaning the disciples, "ye are witnesses of these things." Along with the heavens, created in Christ, for Christ, declaring the tally, the glory of God, along with the day and night created in Christ, for Christ, and the intelligible voice or promise carried from one day to the next, along with the sun created in Christ, for Christ, on its daily circuit, passionately preparing for its bride like a strong man, of which there's no place its heat on earth is not felt. There is his Torah, turning the soul back, spelling out who Christ is to become in his effort to turn us back, testifying to all that has been done and all that will be done, and whom shall be the one to do all of it. Enlightening the eyes, rejoicing the heart, causing a new and regenerate spiritual reverence, created in Christ, for Christ, towards Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. It would have been a whole lot more acceptable in other people's sight had I just said, "Hey, it's all up to you, people. I know you can do it. I can see most of you are already doing it. Go then in peace." Would saying that, however, be acceptable in God's sight? Isn't that just tickling these people's ears with what they would rather want to hear? It would have been a whole lot more acceptable in other people's sight had I just said, "You can believe in Jesus as Christ or not. We all end up in the same place." Would that be acceptable in God's sight, however? Do they really think that God wants a bunch of dull, lifeless, dirty mirrors reflecting their own dark light surrounding him forevermore? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Verse 14. My strength. None of us can do this on his own. Look how long man has tried. Look how long each of us individually have tried. No, the declaration of the heavens say no, it's by Christ's strength. The poem of the visible daytime sky says no, it's by Christ's strength. The daily circuit of the bridegroom sun that prepares for the time that is coming soon, saying it's by Christ's strength. The Torah, with all its conversion and enlightenment and rejoicing and reverence, says no, it's by Christ's strength. And by Christ's strength, this is a good thing. We should not be ashamed. In fact, it's a glorious thing. So glorious, in fact, it would take the number of all the stars above to weigh and measure it. My strength and my Redeemer. Verse 14, Redeemer, the picture is of a kinsman, Christ, the firstborn of many brethren, buying back the brethren. Psalm 19. I'll conclude with this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.